welcome everybody to Overdunk episode 50. This is a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks and I am joined by my three incredible co-hosts for the big 5-0. Welcome Dupesnax, Ender, and Lazadin. I hope your holidays have been fantastic. New Year's, Christmas, all kinds of celebrations happening the last couple of weeks. So let's just do a quick check-in on how you have been for each of you. Dupesnax, how have the holidays been treating you?
Holidays have been great. Can't complain. Couple decent snowstorm here. Christmas Eve drove through that because that's just what people do. But we made it. We made it out the other end. Great holidays. Happy to be here. Love everybody.
Good. Now, the Canadian blood running through us definitely pushes us through. Speaking of which, Ender, how were your holidays?
Holidays have been great. We had one day of snow and then it just hasn't snowed since. So I don't know. Some people like a white Christmas and it snows during the holidays. I don't really mind. I don't go outside that much.
Well, fair enough. Good. Yeah, if you can enjoy the view, then that's always a good one. Snow into rain, either one can be aesthetically pleasing in their own way, I guess. Depends on how you look at it. Lazadin, how have your holidays been?
Well, they've been great, you know, just spending time with family. There was a little bit of snow, but, like, not too much that the roads were bad. Like, perfect amount. Good stuff.
Yeah. I had the same thing. My job does make me work outside, and somehow I worked on just the coldest day of the year so far, and I absolutely froze. But other than that, the holidays were fantastic. So I was enjoying my actual days off when I got them. But well, thank you for you three of you joining me. Thank you everyone who's checking this out on YouTube and Twitch. By the way, you may have noticed I've been playing around a little bit with our visuals for the podcast. So we have a kind of a new look going forward. If you're watching visually podcast listeners, nothing will change. Just the same quality you know and expect, and hopefully that'll improve too one day. Who knows? But so just if you're watching, hopefully if you like it, let us know. I think it's pretty sweet that we got this new setup. But we did mention at the top of the show, it is episode 50, and we want to do something kind of cool. I know it's not a century of podcasts, but hey, 5 decades in a row, not actual time, but 50 episodes definitely felt like we should celebrate in some way. So today, we're going to be having kind of our normal show, hit a couple of topics, talk about some tournaments that have been happening recently, and then near the end we are going to shift towards kind of a look back at the first year of competitive Unite, talk about our favorite moments that we have had this year within the game, and then of course take some questions that we've got on Twitter. We'll also take a few questions from chat too at that time, and then we can answer those and, you know, have a little bit of talk back with our community, which would be super cool because we haven't had that really on this podcast before. So I am very excited. Thank you all for joining me. 50 episodes is like a pretty cool milestone in my mind for this podcast. So I'm very, very excited. But that being said, let's jump into some news about the game. First thing, we got a new Pokemon release. Dragapult has entered the battlefield. What are our thoughts on this newest attacker being added to the game? That's how you spell it. Yeah. any thoughts on Dragapult whatsoever? It seems pretty strong to me.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's probably the, like, out of all the auto attackers, it's the weakest, like, raw auto attacks. Like, it's actually extremely bad if you're just standing there A-pressing.
Okay.
But Dragon Dance is so, so fun. Like, it's so, so powerful, too. It has a lot of skill expression in it, which I think is really good for the game. And I don't even think it's, like, necessarily overpowered. Like, I think it's a perfectly balanced Pokemon to be in the game. Like, it's really awesome.
Ooh, okay. Numbers head themselves, Lazadin, giving it the perfectly balanced phrase. I like that a lot. I tend to agree, but I think that's really cool. Ender, any thoughts on Dragapult? Have you got a chance to play this Pokemon at all?
I messed around with it a little bit. I think it's okay. I don't know if I would call it balanced. It seems like a little bit underpowered compared to the other auto attack type characters that exist in the game, but I mean, I don't know, it's like right up there. I can't see myself ever wanting to have a Dragapult though over, like, you know, either a Cinderace or a Greninja or Decidueye depending on the game. But I don't know, maybe it doesn't seem overtuned, that's for sure, and it doesn't seem awful, so it's in an okay spot.
Do you think Ender, that kind of comes from the lack of uniqueness maybe in Dragapult, like that you would rather have another option? Or do you feel like Dragapult feels very unique, like it's hitting its own niche? Or do you think it's just kind of feels like another attacker?
It's got its niche in that it's the only one of the auto attackers that will always go to a fight with its Unite move up.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to have like longer cooldown ones, which is interesting. For like more frequent fighting, it probably has spikes where it's stronger.
Okay.
But you know, a lot of the game also just ends up getting decided around like very, very important fights, like the end of the game Rayquaza fight.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It seems like a perfectly fine character to exist in that point of the game. Right. It just doesn't seem exceptional, I guess, which is what we've come used to like the last couple releases.
Hmm.
And everything that comes out has been like exceptionally strong.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I don't think we've had a like character of this tier in a very, very long time, right? Because normally every single character on release is either some of the most broken shit imaginable, or it's like awful, right? I mean, like, just look at Urshifu. It's both.
Pretty much.
It's like, I can, like, genuinely the last time I remember a character being about this tier is like Blissey, right? Like, which was like fine even back then, wasn't super overpowered.
Yeah. I agree. I think it is somewhere in I think it is somewhere along those lines as well. I don't know. I think it's a cool Pokemon. I think it has its niche in the meta, in like you were mentioning, Indra, it can hit those Unite spikes. I also feel like if Rapid Fire Scarf didn't exist, maybe I wouldn't have this more positive outlook on this Pokemon. But I think Rapid Fire Scarf does it a decent amount of favors. Any of these A button pressers just feeling pretty good right now in the meta in general. So maybe that's what's tending me to give this mon a bit more credit than I actually should. But that's just my personal opinion. Juicenax, any thoughts at all on the opinions of Dragapult?
Yeah, I think the sentiments are agreed. It seems like it's in a decent spot. Maybe it could be tuned up a little bit. But I think its movement patterns within the game are a lot of fun. Dreepy is adorable, so shout out to that. Overall, I think Dragapult was a good add. Seems like a flavor win, at least, giving players a Pokemon that is popular that people like to play without having it feel abysmal is not a bad spot to be. So I give thumbs up to Dragapult. A poll on its release.
Cool. Yeah, flavor win. I think this Pokemon wins in spades in a lot of ways. I think it's at a really cool spot. But Lassen, I need to hear more about Dragon Dance, because I've definitely been of the opinion that the ghost build is the way to go on this Pokemon. It just feels more consistent. What about Dragon Dance is really singing to you?
So the biggest thing about Dragon Dance is it's actually more burst than even the ghost build is. Like, it is a 200% attack speed steroid.
Okay.
When combined with Rapid Fire Start, gives you, within a 3-second span, 11 attacks at level 8.
Sweet.
Which is a lot of damage. It also builds up your meter very, very fast, which you can usually do with Dragon Breath anyway, although I think both moves are perfectly fine with that build. And overall, like, the resets and the lifesteal make it extremely snowball-y in team fights. Like, there's some scenarios where they just won't have enough damage and you will just auto win a fight almost 1v5.
Sure. If you just can't get targeted down quick enough, that makes sense. Yeah, it definitely seems like a Pokemon that requires an answer from the enemy team. Like, if you can't figure out the problem of Dragapult, you're going to lose this game. However, I don't think the answer to the Dragapult is particularly hard every game.
No, it's not.
Depends. I do need to see it in some of the best players' hands before I make any strong opinions. But last thing on Dragapult before we move on, how does this Pokemon do in draft? Does it get the favorite at all, or Ender, you have the opinion that you're just picking a different ADC in the end of draft pretty much every game?
Or I think it's
I
think it's pretty close. Like, if you have someone that's, you know, really good and really confident on the Dragapult, it can be, you know, a good flavor pick. It can be hard to play against. Maybe the enemy team doesn't show a lot of CC and it can look like a good Dragon Dance game. Like, I could see its potential.
Okay.
I don't think you would go into the draft like looking to first pick Dragapult and build your team comp around it. It more so would just be like, if the enemy team leaves themselves vulnerable, Dragapult can take advantage of situations.
Oh, and another big flavor win, Dreep and Destroy, excellent pun.
Oh my gosh, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, incredible. Slam dunk worth of fun. That is the Unite move name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, yep. The Unite move names in this game might be my favorite part of Pokemon Unite. They're absolutely phenomenal. So Dreep and Destroy, absolute S tier. I'm looking forward to that tier list coming soon. But I think in drafts, it is going to be always near the end of that pick. I think it has some pretty rough losses that it's going to encounter along the way. So that makes a lot of sense to me for the Dragapult being entered. Well, next, let's move into our topic of our tournament recap. We've had a few tournaments crop up. Holidays are always a little weird. Some people try to run them. Some people try to avoid running holiday tournaments whatsoever. Unite Mikes finished up our Season 2 of Mayhem, but we didn't quite roll into the holidays. We ended it just before. But TTV did end up winning the grand finals of that one. So congratulations to your team, Ender, on a pretty phenomenal win.
Thank you.
This tournament was pretty fun. I thought it was, of course, we were playing draft format the entire way through this time. We weren't changing up the format every single week. We had four excellent teams there for the final, a very international tournament. But your team ended up taking away the win. We'll get your insight on it in just a moment. Deucenex, you and I got to cast it. I had a ton of fun with this tournament. I don't know if you were feeling the same. The games all felt like razor thin in those finals. It was a very exciting tournament. What were your opinions on the finale of Mayhem?
Exactly that. I mean, I don't think we could have drummed up the matches better, if we scripted them out. I mean, they were just very close, a lot of fun, some good back and forth, obviously some highlight moments in there. It was a great way to culminate that season two in Unite Mike's Mayhem. So no complaints from my camp here. It's nice to be able to set up a tournament and have the four folks playing in the end be, three UCS qualified teams and, the perennial NA favorites able to step in and, take that down, which kind of sets up a nice little storyline going into the UCS kickstart. Just from a caster point of view. So that's exciting as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously another stamp of approval, a million thumbs up. That was a great, great finals.
Yeah, I agree. Narrative wise, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of fun there. Now, I feel like we're going to hit this note a lot on our podcast, but if I congratulate Ender, I'm probably saying you came close. Sorry about that, Lazarus. And I'm going to be going back and forth the other direction as we go, because I like to think there's a little bit of a rivalry between Ascended and TTV, even though you did not actually play in this matchup. But still, you were also participating in this one as the coach of Ascended. What were your thoughts on the finale of the tournament? Not just your game, but finals as well.
Okay. So for our specific series, I will say it was frankly a little embarrassing. It was definitely a wake-up call that we need to be practicing more. Like we've been playing a little too lackadaisically in the off season.
Okay.
Well played disease. It's a very interesting finals to watch. Like, actually, both the other series are extremely interesting. Just to watch from a casual perspective. I haven't gone back and just, rewatched our spectator's perspective, but, I really love watching the other two.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah, I think it's just a blanket. When we get international teams, we love seeing the competition. The strategies are fun. We are going to have to deal with ping whenever that happens. So, a general apology to the teams, but also huge shout-out to the teams for being, super chill about it towards us, as tournament organizers this time around. That is not always the case when teams have to deal with certain things like that. So thank you so much to the teams for being good sports with Unite Mike's Mayhem, because we had a lot of fun with it. But
the infamous words of Reggie Fils-Aimé, no Johns.
Sure. Yeah. That'll be clutch for sure. All right, Ender, you actually won the whole thing. Tell me about your thoughts on this tournament. How did it feel to play in a tournament series, a couple of them with draft format? You kind of knew the teams you were going into. I'm not sure how hard your team was preparing for a specific event, but you did come away with the win. So talk to me how it felt. What was your team thinking during draft? All that good stuff.
I think even for us, it was just a good wake-up call, that we need to be practicing more. We haven't, really been even considering ourselves a team up until now. But I think a lot of people have been wondering, like, what our final roster is going to be, if we've announced it. I don't think we've made any formal announcement, but should be no surprise that, you know, we're probably, or we're definitely going to be playing with Otter and Retsu as our five, which is, you know, the team that we ended up winning with.
Yeah.
So I can say that's confirmed. But it was nice. I mean, we had a really fun time. We were messing around with different picks.
Yes.
I got to play Sableye.
Otter sure was.
yeah, Otter was, you know, experimenting with... I mean, we were all just playing different things. See what's good. It was my first chance to play Sableye in, like, a setting where, you know, everyone's, like, really, really tryharding. Like, I've never had, like, a good Sableye game. They've always just been ladder games, which aren't the most competitive. So it was just good practice overall, and had a lot of fun. All the, like, both of our sets were really challenging. We got shut out one game where we scored absolutely 0 points.
Yeah.
So that was exciting. I mean, I've never had that happen to me. It was exciting, you know.
Yeah. Do we get any inside scoop? Like, what was going on at the CTV camp? Like, were the comms just on fire? Were they silent? What was going on?
I think we were pretty chill. Like,
okay.
I don't think. I mean, Otter and Retsu have, like, similar personality traits to Zaglutano and I. We're all pretty, like, calm and, you know, lighthearted people. So I don't think we were, like, bothered by it. We saw it, chuckled. We drafted Urshifu,
yes.
And then our last pick was Tyranitar. So we had two of the hardest scaling characters in the game, and we lost the early game, which, you know, we don't have good early game characters. And then from there, it's pretty hard to claw back in. And, I mean, obviously, Qlash was on their game, so
we
got shut out. But we bounced back. Like, we were, we're fine.
Almost more impressive. I mean, coming back from the donut, as we were calling it, it's a tough thing to do. But again, congratulations. You went all the way. You beat Qlash and Giz. So both two incredible teams in their own right. It was very cool to see. And hey, if our tournament serves to be the wake-up call for North America to start practicing again, I'll take it. I'm excited to get to see these teams start grinding again and actually participating in tournaments. As we know, we talked all about it last week on our podcast episode, UCS coming up very, very soon. Yeah. Any final thoughts on that tournament specifically?
Big shout out to you guys for putting it on. Like, it was very much like the premier event of the off season. It was super fun to watch over the week. Really excited. Well,
thank you very much. Yeah, I hope everybody enjoyed it. Huge shout out to the community for helping fund the prize pool a little bit to boost it for the for the final tournament. That was really cool. Hopefully TTP has actually gotten paid. I have been holidays hit me hard. I was trying to get that organized, and I think we finally have it situated. So Ender and company, I'm sorry it took so long from my end, but they should be good to go now. Is awesome.
We're thankful that you guys set it up and that the community had the option, you know, the opportunity to put some stuff into it too, which is cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for everyone participating and being a part of it. One thing I wanted to talk about just, we had draft format all three of the weeks, technically four events, 3 weeks. But it really did seem that Sableye and Blissey were the two biggest offenders, or just found themselves in the ban slot the most. Do we think that is still going to be the case moving forward in any draft events, or has anything changed enough to get those two Pokemon out of this perma ban spot?
Absolutely not.
No?
Sableye especially. That Pokemon just, it so fundamentally changes the way you need to play the game around it, and it just hard shuts down so many team comps. It's like, why would you ever not ban it? Like, it is just too risky to give away. It can win the game on its own.
Okay, gotcha. So you're saying Sableye, number one ban priority. You need to remove that from the game. If you are first pick, first ban, you probably leave it available so you have the chance to get it, force your opponents to ban it. Otherwise, ban that one in your second spot. Who's next? Do you think that Blissey should be the number one? Should it fill in that slot over top of Sableye? Or do you think Sableye is still that the biggest terror facing Unite meta right now?
Yeah, I think since it is the biggest terror, that's why we've always talked about putting the opponent team into either giving you Sableye or shoehorning them into what you want them to ban. So it actually allows you to have more ban flexibility on your side, which is why I thought the first ban, first pick seemed so much stronger in this particular series of Unite Mike's Mayhem because of that. Because like Laz was saying, I mean, you can put the other team on the button. They either hand you Sableye, which is, you know, one of the best things going, or, you know, you force them into banning it, and that's kind of like business as usual, right? So you actually have the flexibility to say, hey, we want to take a pick out from under one of their top players, or, hey, we just want to make sure that Blissey's out of the map so we can do, you know, something else. So I'm still of the opinion that Sableye is the most ban-worthy card, but because it is, draft where your draft priority is important, and then you can just force the other team into doing it. So you're actually never really banning it first, but that's because of how the structure we were running works.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Ender, any hot takes around this? Or are you pretty much agreeing with the rest of us?
Yeah, no, I think Dupesnax has it exactly right. Like, first pick has no incentive to ban Sableye because they can just look to pick it. And then from first pick, like what we did, and I mean, I still think it's the correct thing to do, is just you ban Blissey because it's one of the best counters to Sableye, and it also enables all the other really strong characters in the game, like Scyther, even Dodrio, and, you know, just enables anything. And then it's up to the enemy team, like, do they want to play against Sableye? And if not, then, you know, we just play a normal game of Pokemon Unite. No Blissey, no Sableye, and, you know, we try to figure out what we can get from there.
Right. Yeah, that is that makes a lot of sense to me. I saw some teams showing a bit more ban priority to the Dodrio than potentially even Blissey. Do we think that is correct, or is that just some, you just can't handle Lutano's Dodrio sometimes? Is that,
I think there's a fair amount of teams that have built like identities around Dodrio that makes it a higher priority ban than Blissey. I don't think it's generally stronger. I personally think Blissey is generally stronger, but there are a fair amount of teams that I would just ban Dodrio first because I think they're hyper reliant on it.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Sometimes it's a good play. Okay, cool. Well, I think that's a pretty good spot that the meta is in, a pretty good, you know, scope in on it. I can't think of a good analogy for this right now. I don't know why, but anyway, that is a very good picture of what the metagame is looking like right now. Sableye, absolutely absurd. Any quick, you know, armchair analyst how we're gonna balance this Pokemon quickly? Anything we need to do to get this Pokemon into a good position? Any balance changes any of you can think of?
Why is confused rate 2.5 seconds?
Sure. Yeah, that is
that's the number one thing, 100%, is confused rate duration. I mean, the stealth and whatnot is annoying, but at some point you have to let, you know, Sableye exist as a character, and if that's its identity, then, you know, that's what it's going to be. But confused rate being 2.5 seconds out of nowhere is, you know, they can keep nerfing the cooldown. It's still going to be 2.5 seconds for the first confused rate of the fight,
right?
Which is insane.
Yep. 2.5 seconds is enough for Cinderace to take out half your own Blissey's HP, and it's just like, oh, game's over. Sucks. Yep.
We don't run Hoopa anymore, so unfortunate. Well, maybe your team does, actually. But anyway.
No comment on that.
No comment. Okay. Sure. I won't dig too deep. Fair enough. Okay. Well, got it. That makes a lot of sense to me. Dupesmax, any ways to, you know, hamper the Gremlin?
I mean, not particularly, not right now.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I think the confused rate duration was enough for this one. But
yeah, I think that's about nail on the head right there. Nailing the nail on the head, hitting the nail on the head. There we go. We got there.
Absolutely. Well, okay. That nice. That is going to bring us to the end, I think, of our normal setup. There are other tournaments going on, by the way, other than just the Mayhem tournament. There have been some North America tournaments. Most importantly, the Asian Champions League is going to be kicking off this upcoming week. I did not watch as much of the qualifiers for the different regions as I wanted to. Also, just because so many of the teams were just invited already, I was like, I'm just going to watch the actual Champions League. I don't know. That was my inclination. So I'm excited for that to kick off this weekend. So if you're looking for tournaments to watch, that is going to be a great upcoming one. We'll probably...
There's a lot of tournaments this weekend.
There is a lot of tournaments this month. January, I feel like Grassroots is coming back, y'all. So we're going to have a lot of tournaments to break down. Very, very excited about that. But yeah, we also, we'll probably shut them out at the end of the show, but we have a Floatstone Invitational coming up this Saturday, put on by Rex, a great member of the community. So just a very, very incredible tournament. Every time that Floatstone puts on an event, you know that just the competitive Discord has good competitive gamers. So I'm excited to watch that one. But that being said, I wanted to celebrate 50 episodes with all of you, and I thought it was also a good time to celebrate the first year of competitive Pokemon Unite. Obviously, it went a little bit past 2022 as well, but we're just going to include that, incorporate it all, just for a look back. And I thought it'd be really fun to everybody share some of their favorite memories of the season. It could be competitive moments, could be individual things for you that you really latched onto, things that happened in the community, really anything you want to share. So I'm just going to open it up to all three of you. If one of you wants to jump in and say, what was one of your favorite things that happened in the first year of competitive Pokemon Unite?
Sure, I'll jump right in. The Pokemon Unite World Championships was amazing. As somebody that has been in the competitive Pokemon community for quite some time, not just Unite, for example, but just overall, getting to witness that and be a part of the production of that and have, again, be part of that song and dance was absolutely amazing. Can't say enough about it, and wouldn't trade that experience in for the world. It was really amazing.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. All right, well, Worlds is off the table, so now we have to go to the other options. Lassiter or Indra, do you have a specific moment that really sticks out in your mind?
I'll go. So I had taken a break, like, near the end of last year. Like, sometime around November, I thought I was just completely done with the game. And I came back just on a whim and watched March Finals, and it was some of the most fun I've ever had watching the game. Like, that final series of Nemesis versus Blossom was super, super entertaining, and that kind of re-sparked my interest, and I mean, look where it's taken me, right?
Yeah.
So I'll always be forever grateful to Blossom and Nemesis for putting on such an awesome series.
Do we think that was the best finals game from the season? Blossom versus Nemesis in March Finals for North America?
It's really hard to top.
I think so. I don't even remember what happened in May, not going to lie.
Who is it? The Lucario dunk with 18 points was nuts.
Yeah.
Yes, that was wild too. My personal favorite is Eos, because I mean, well, this jumps into one of my favorite moments of the last season. I adored Eos Cup, obviously. Yeah, Bulby's play. I adored Eos Cup because it was my first chance to be on the broadcast, which was really cool for me personally, just as a note. But I honestly, just being able to do a full bracket reset grand finals, casting the whole thing was amazing. Meta was a little whack, but just the fact that the game was super legendary.
I think I would have taken the number one spot if it wasn't like 90 minutes long. Like, I think the fatigue kind of started a little bit, but
now yeah, for me, I could have done four more of those series, man. I was on I was on top of the world in that game. I was having so much fun. But yeah, that was a very long finals for sure, but that was one of my favorite moments. Inder, how about you? Do you got one?
I mean, that was definitely a long finals from, I can tell you from my end.
Yep.
a long day in general for us, but I don't know. I've had a lot of great individual, like, small moments with, you know, my teammates who have been my friends for, you know, some of them for 10 plus years.
Yeah.
And I got to live a lot of just competition with them. I know we said Worlds is off the table, but I guess this is regionals. Despite us, you know, failing to qualify and that being rough, I still feel like, you know, our effort that we put into it and looking back at it, like, when it was all over, like, it sucked, but it also was like, you know, okay, the year's over now, like, we've had a lot of pressure on ourselves, and that was lifted off, and I don't know, like, I spent the time with my friends. No one was mad at each other. We just, you know, we hung out, we cried a little.
Yeah,
it was good. Like, well, that's awesome. I'll look back to that as a fond memory.
That's good. That's really, really good. One of my memories I have about this season is, this is a really random one, and not too many people will remember it. One of my favorite things that happened within the community was Bulby's 1v1 invitational tournament that happened. This tournament was so funny. I was, like, barely even, like, recognized in the community at this point. Like, nobody knew who I was. I was just a weird chatter in everybody's streams, desperately asking if we could use your tournament footage for our casting at this point in time. Like, it's this old Unite Mics, but I was watching that tournament. I was just like on the floor laughing so hard at like four casters at once talking about a 1v1 invitational tournament. So Bulby definitely gets a highlight for me for that past year. That tournament was so funny.
There's just a lot of great tournaments that, you know, kind of carried the scene until the UCS kind of became a reality. Mm-hmm. And really gave everyone, specifically on this call and some others, you know, the opportunity to get stitched into the community, figure out what the path forward is going to be, what growth looks like, what we all kind of collectively believe the game can be. How do we help push it in that direction the right way? But none of that really happens if we don't establish a pretty committed competitive scene ourselves. Right. So I don't think that can be understated either.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. We've had a lot of people that have committed a lot of time and effort towards the competitive scene. Like, shout out to all the mods and discords of the competitive discords that have been doing so much work. The tournament organizers that have put in like hours and hours and hours, and so many DMs of players being angry they had to wait for their game to start. So many. And just, of course, players for grinding the game and being excited and showing up for tournaments even when there's no, you know, prize pool or things like that, and still committing time and effort into the game. It's been pretty awesome. I think the grassroots scene for this game is very, very commendable for that. It's been really, really cool to be a part of. And then just, of course, tournament team organizers and things like that for also getting involved. I mean, Ender, you were signed to a team for your first year. We, of course, had other organizations that took part and really helped out, like looking at Nouns, looking at IAX and stuff in the past. So very, very cool for a lot of support for our first scene, a year of our scene. Yeah, that's been awesome.
One of the ones in particular that I want to recall on is Shiny League. Yeah. You know, with A-Drive and, you know, the entire Shiny League organization coming in, sponsoring a team, putting up a pretty much almost year-long circuit, hosting a finals for it. Like, I feel like they really helped legitimize the scene in the eyes of outsiders for us, and, you know, helped prove that people are serious about the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. A-Drive deserves a lot of props. That also, shout out to him. He's still into Unite. It's just, you know, he's obviously very busy with the starting a new trading card game, and all that is going to be a lot of work on their plate. But I have discussed Unite with them and potential future opportunities, but they are probably pretty far off. But yeah, Shiny League, very, very cool way to, I mean, yeah, it was such an important part of the season one, or pre-season one, I suppose you could call it. I feel like season two was UCS and season one was Shiny League, but it was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun. EU versus NA really felt like the storyline every Shiny League. We were always having a really solid EU teams knocking out North America and vice versa. It was really, really exciting for sure.
It's like functionally like a World Zero, right? Like,
right.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Shiny League was a lot of fun. And I know other regions are going to have their own organizations that are doing these things. We're just very familiar with North America and EU, of course. But yeah, around the world, I know there's other organizations pulling strong for competitive Unite, which has been really, really cool. Any other specific like moments or like call-outs that you have? I think we already talked about what my favorite finals was for North America. I think my favorite finals for EU might be the first one. When it was Random Gaming, or wait, was this the second one when you sponsored Random Gaming, Ender? Maybe it was when you sponsored a team.
That was towards the end, I believe.
Where Nazu had Krussel, and
was it February?
Yeah, where it was like a bracket reset. Krussel was on the field. Blaine was playing their iconic rollout Wiggly and A9. It was a lot, and it was so fun. But okay. Chroma was on Krussel. Yes, no, that was an amazing, amazing tournament. I was watching that one, of course, from home. But I was having so much fun with that tournament. I thought that was EU's best finals for sure. All the other ones was really just like, can anyone beat Random Gaming? I don't know. But it was a good time. It was definitely a good time. Yeah.
And can anyone beat random gaming? Great question.
Who knows? Also, I just got reminded of Indic Labs random esports, and I thought that was another favorite memory. I laughed so hard. And also, like, I just want you to know, Ender, like, when we were on broadcast, like, Esports Engine was, like, cracking up about it, too. They're like, this is amazing. Like, they were also laughing at the fact that you had sponsored a team. So
I'm glad, because my main motivation of doing it was, like, I was like, in my head, this sounds really funny to me. Uh-huh. So I'm sure other people would find this really funny. And I was like, all right, well, I have the money I won from AOS Cup. you know, we came second. We won some money. I was like, I'll just give them that money. Perfect. And why not? We'll reinvest. Make something funny happen. That was great.
No, I think that joke landed very well. that was one of my favorites for sure. Awesome, awesome. Anybody else with memories they have from the season one?
I very distinctly remember, like, my first, like, big, like, coaching opportunity was Team TOS, right, leading up to regionals.
Yeah.
My very first day coaching, I was watching them do some ladder practice. And it's like a top Rotom fight, and Sanji just yells the words, "I'm going stupid," e-speeds into five people, somehow doesn't hit one of them, and dies. And then Faz just starts flaming the hell out of him, like, "Oh, I'm going brain dead!" Like,
that's so funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Sanji, oh man, we really should have done an awards show this year. We just didn't really have the time to set it up. We wanted to do one, but best clips of all season, and that might have been up there. I'm going stupid, and e-speeds into nothing is incredible. That is a great moment. But competitive clips, shout out to Faz for the last minute Blissey dunk. Dupe Snacks, you went stupid in that clip. Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Yeah, that was, there was...
Like, what a hero moment. What a hero moment that was.
On the Blissey. Incredible.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, now we're all like, of course Blissey did that. It's impossible to beat. But yes, it was quite the time. Cool. Well, let's, unless anybody has one more that they gotta get off the chest now, I'm down to move into some Q&A if all of you are.
Let's do it.
Sweet. Okay, cool. So I reached out on Twitter. I said I'm looking for questions to ask the podcast. Full disclosure, I did get this idea from another Pokemon podcast, so shout out Battle Cats, Speediest Chief and Caleb Peng for Pokemon Go. If you're interested at all in competitive Pokemon Go, which I am, like, barely, I still listen to every episode of Battle Cats. It's an incredible show, so go check it out for sure. But that being said, we got some questions. Ender, you were actually the first one to be specifically called out with a question. Sneaky Seal wants to know if you have any New Year's resolutions.
I'm gonna go to Japan, and we're gonna play in Japan.
All right, I love that. That is a very good New Year's resolution. Okay, cool. Unfortunately, that was a single one. So this one is to the group. Plasma wants to know what defender that we think will be added to Unite. We haven't gotten one in a long time. That is true. It has been a long time since a defender has been added. What do we think the next defender Pokemon is? I know I've said on this podcast quite a few times, I want it to be Dusknoir. I think Dusknoir would be an incredible fear-based defender. Scary Face, Phantom Force, just area of effect fear would be a lot of fun. I don't think it's very likely due to how much ghost representation we have in the game already. I feel like I'm less likely to get a ghost Pokemon for the next little while, but that is my shout-out, is Dusknoir. Anybody else have a defender they think will be added to the game?
I've got a pitch.
Okay.
All right, pitch it.
So we've had Urshifu and Scizor that are two Pokemon that have split evolutions or split branches.
Okay.
I want to see Appleton and Flapple.
Oh, yes!
Attacker, defender.
Attack, defender. That is a good
Because they don't have that kind of split, and Appleton would be a great defender.
Oh, I would like that a lot. Okay, that's a really fun shout-out for defender. And you think Flapple would be an attacker, not a speedster, eh?
Yeah, maybe a ranged attacker.
I think defender speedster would probably be too hard to bridge, like, as a build. So yeah, you're probably correct. That would make more sense. Interesting. Oh, and then they have, like, so many sweet, like, you play sweet scent, any kind of, like, aroma move to draw in enemies. Very, very cool. Deuce Next, you were about to speak. What were your thoughts on a new defender?
Oh, you know where I'm going to go. Everybody knows where I'm going to go. Pelipper, baby.
For defender? Okay.
Dude, it's special defense in the game is ridiculous. It has roost, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It can spit, you know, it's a bird. It's out here. It's doing stuff, and I'm about that action. So.
Yeah. I've always said that Pelipper would be really cool. It's like our Tom Kench of this game. I think that would be a lot of fun. You know, pick up teammates, run away, spit it out. I think that would be really, really cool. Lazadin, how about you?
Give me Garganacle.
Oh, Garganacle. I've always said Garganacle.
Isn't that the bad guy in the Smurfs?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I don't know what the official pronunciation is. I'd have to look it up.
That's Gargamel. We good.
Yeah, it's Gargamel. That is amazing. Okay, I love that. Okay, Garganacle, the newest rock Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet. Do you think that would be the first Scarlet Violet mon being added in?
I could see it. Either that or a starter.
Yeah. Oh, that or the split Evo of Cerulege Armourish, which would be very cool too. I don't know if that'll happen, but that could be a shout. But all right, well,
literally looks like whatever it's called, Gargamel 2.0. Literally just looks like something in Minecraft.
Correct.
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
It is cubic in nature. That is true.
It's the pyramid from Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, that is true. Also, I mentioned this, you could post on Twitter to submit your questions, but if you want to throw some in chat, we'll definitely pick some from here. So if you have questions that you want to us to bring up the show, put them in Twitch chat and we'll pick out some of our favorites to answer in a minute. But okay, cool. Well, there's our answer to Plaster's question. We don't know what defender they'll add to Unite, but those are our picks. I think Gen 9 would be really cool to finally start getting in the game. Finally, the game came out like a month ago, but I think it would be pretty cool. All right, Paylist on Twitter asks, what are our favorite animals? Doopsnacks, is a pelican your favorite animal as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Okay, I like that. Lacidid, is your favorite animal a rock?
My favorite animal is not a rock?
Okay, this doesn't. This analogy didn't go past Doopsnacks.
Oh, man, that's actually come out hard. I'll just go with dog. That's pretty basic, but
no, I do like my dog. I think it is a really good answer. I have always been mine's also pretty basic. I just go with wolf usually. So I'll fill that out with you. How about you, Ender? A favorite animal?
I'll go with the rabbit, a bunny rabbit. It's Year of the Rabbit. Okay. My girlfriend's got two pet rabbits. I love them. They're amazing.
Mm.
And Azumarill is one of my favorite Pokemon in Unite, and it's a rabbit.
Ooh, okay. I like that a lot. Cool. Well, Rabidashery asked us on Twitter, talk about the different major meta shifts. Let's all just go quick rapid round. What was your favorite meta? Even if it was like a niche couple weeks, what was your favorite one to play around with? Man, I really liked when Greninja was kind of like peak Greninja. I liked Surf Greninja back in the day. That was maybe my favorite. I've always said this, Greninja's my favorite Pokemon to cast, so that probably answers the question for me. How about all of you? Anybody have any specific favorite metas that were in the game?
Bree Hoopa, when it was Pop Close Combat Lucario with Slow Smoke around the February finals, and Eldegoss was the only support in the game. It was tri-lane bottom almost every game, so you'd fight 3v3.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I don't know. I enjoyed that meta. We had a lot of success in that meta as well.
Yeah, that helps. That definitely helps.
Not that it was a particular meta by any means, but just from a casting perspective, I really, really enjoyed the World Championships because, yes, there was through lines between all the teams, but everyone came to different conclusions, which meant every matchup felt pretty fresh.
Sure.
Even to that, you know, the finals where it was counter picks, kind of like you could kind of see the dichotomy of picking into certain players and stuff like that. So certainly not a defined meta by any means, but I think that's why I enjoyed it so much is because everything kind of just felt like a fresh look, as compared to, you know, as NA and EU kind of breaks itself down. But the split push Sylveon type thing, that was a lot of fun to watch because we literally got to watch EU implement that and then NA adopt it and see success with it, you know, off the rip. You know, was that Aos Cup? Is that what that was?
That was Aos.
The infamous Otter PayPal random gaming tweet.
Yeah, that incredible tweet. All right, yeah, we got to do the awards show next year. Best tweet of the scene also would get awarded to PayPal like random gaming. That was awesome. Okay, Lazarus, favorite meta.
I'd say not the first Day of Sky Ruins meta, but like the one like right after, the first Rayquaza health nerf when it was still kind of bad. I think that was the most interesting meta. It had like the most ways you could play it out. We didn't really get to see a lot of competitive on that map, but it was like super, super interesting the few tournaments we did get to see.
Yeah. No, that was a fun meta too. Okay. This next question is directed specifically to me. And I said, for real though, is Gengar a cat? If you know me, I've had this battle online quite a bit with specifically Zug chat viewers. However, I think I'm gonna have to finally admit it. Gengar having some base inspiration from Cheshire Cat, I will have to admit, fine, Gengar can be a cat. Whatever. that'll be my answer to that question. We have another question about Asia Champions League. I think we're going to be talking about that next week anyway, so we'll probably just leave that question for next week. Drostar did ask, though, 2022 gave us Thea Sky Ruins. What potential new map do you see 2023 giving us? First off, do we think we're getting a new map in the next year? Do we think it'll be kind of a yearly rotation that they're going to add? I would suspect yes. And what do you think? Does anybody have like a general idea for a theme of a new map? This one was definitely Ancient Ruins was the vibe I was getting from this one. Does anybody have any creative ideas for a new map they think they would like to see?
Yes. No. I'm kind of stupid. So, I don't have the intelligence breakdown in me to figure out exactly what we're talking about here.
Well, because
everything's created. It's a new area, right? It's considered like not a new region, but it's its own thing.
Right.
Yeah. So I think within that context, it's hard to predict what you want to see, but I would love to see kind of like the combat based around the objective where like you have to win the fight, air quotes, and then like maintain the objective a little bit more of like...
like a Heroes of the Storm kind of thing?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, got Heroes it. Of the Storm. That's actually...
Yeah, I think that would be just kind of cool. I know it's not a map specific thing, but just kind of an objective change. Because I think we are going to get a new map, and the releasing at Worlds kind of feels like a good, you know, release kind of tempo for maps. Maybe a little bit more often, but you know, always around Worlds for sure.
Okay, cool.
So for any of the old school HOTS players, Battlefield of Eternity. If anybody remembers that map is so, so fun. In my opinion, I know that there's some community members that might disagree with me on that one. But, like, there's so many different, like, Pokemon duos you can do that would, like, be interesting thematically on that map. You have, like, Palkia Dialga, Kyogre Groudon, which you probably don't want to do because you just do Rayquaza. Reshiram, Zekrom. There's so many different interesting ways to do, like, a Battlefield of Eternity style. And it would also, like, drastically shift the way endgame gets played in a really cool way. Like, I think it'd be super awesome.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. Ender, any thoughts? New map? New theme?
I think that Battlefield of Eternity style where, like, you know, two objectives spawn and, you know, you have to, like, control either one. The team that wins it, they get to, you know, marches down their lane. Like, that would be really cool in Unite. Mm-hmm. What I want, it doesn't really matter if they change the Sky Ruins to mirror this or, you know, they go back and change the old maps as well. But I want the end game objective, whether it's Rayquaza or Zapdos or whatever in the future, to scale... its buff scale on how many buffs or how many objectives you got prior into the game. So if the team that gets the last hit on Rayquaza cleared none of the other objectives throughout the game, then their buff should probably be scaled down. And, you know, it still gives you opportunity to win the objective, win the game, but it's harder if you've just been losing the entire game and you get a lucky last hit. So some way to scale the last 2 minutes to remain relevant, but it's still not just be like anyone's game. For the last 2 minutes, I think that'd be a nice change for competitive.
Okay. Yeah. I like that idea a lot. That'd be really cool. My idea was just theme. I was thinking, actually, someone said it in chat too. I think Science Lab with Mewtwo at the center would be really cool. I think it's a matter of time until we get Mewtwo as our end boss for our final stretch 2 minute match. And I think like a very sci-fi-esque map would be very cool. So somewhere, you know, if Remote Stadium is in the middle and Thea Skyruins is on one end of the spectrum, a little bit on the other with a more technological aspect to it, I think would be really, really cool. Sci-fi area. I don't know if you'd always want to play on that map, but I don't know if it feels super Pokemon-y, but you might need to adjust different parts of it. But that personally would be my theme to be throwing in. We got another question in just now too. Just everybody's favorite Pokemon from the series, just as a whole. Get to know us a little bit. Mine, of course, is Banette. Dupesnax, you already is it still Pelipper though?
It is. Okay. It's hard to. I have more than I'm becoming more engrossed with over time, of course, as I'm learning more Pokemon. Of course, I haven't really gone super deep into the VGC, all the different versions and stuff. So as I'm like learning about no Pokemon, I'm like, that one's awesome. Like Kecleon is a Pokemon I didn't know existed, and that thing is crazy legit. So nice. You know, just random things like that. But ultimately, Pelicans are my favorite animal. Pelipper is my favorite Pokemon.
Fair enough. How about you, Lazadin? Favorite Pokemon?
I think Slowpoke. It's just so stupid. I love it.
Yes. If you like derpy Pokemon, especially this gen was pretty good for you. I think Gen 9 delivered in the derp levels. Ender, favorite Pokemon?
Just because of the first Pokemon movie, it's going to be Mew.
Oh, okay. Shout out. Yeah. I like that pick too. Very strong Pokemon to be your favorite. This is a good one. Deuce Next, we got a question. You sent out a tweet on June 14th of 2022 asking every single pro and semi-pro in Pokemon Unite, all the esports teams, that you wanted to collect their jerseys. Yep. Landhands wants an update. How many jerseys you got?
We ended up with two, which is more than I definitely deserve. big shout outs to Aphelion that came through. They reached out and got me hooked up with one, which I appreciate. And then I don't know if it's because I was gassing them up so much, but Iclin, they delivered. They
nice.
Got me one.
There we go. Yeah.
So that was actually the jerseys that they wore at Worlds. They hooked me up with one of those. So
that's awesome.
They're definitely, certainly prized possessions of mine, just in awesome ways to remember this past year. So shout out to them.
That's very cool. Yeah, I want to get in line for next year for sure. In terms of those. Okay, let's, I got a few more questions too. This is a general question that we got that DM'd to me. Where do you see Unite developing as a competitive esport? So first, what do we think about, like, I mean, we already see the projection for this year for Yokohama. What do we want to see the scene grow into a couple years in the future, even after this Worlds? Where do we kind of want to see it grow into? Do we want to see things added? Do we want to see things majorly changed and overhauled? What are we looking at for the next few years?
One thing I want, and it's not necessarily the Worlds itself, but a tournament, international or semi-international kind of tournament midway through Worlds, maybe a Western one and an Eastern one where NA and EU get to play and all the Asian team gets to play. We've had that in HOTS before. But something just in the middle of the season, maybe we'll get it this year, something in person, something really big to look forward to.
That'd be awesome. That'd be really awesome. I think I'm just going to throw in my chips with you, Ender. I think a MSI-style event would be amazing for this game. Mm-hmm. That would be really big. Dupesnax or Lazadin?
I'd really like to see some sort of official program for supporting grassroots. I think that'd be really, really cool.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Do you have an idea of like kind of what you would want? Like, do you want the ability to have grassroots tournaments give points, like championship points, like a small amounts of them, maybe, or like funding for prizes or infrastructure within game?
I think even just like gems, right? Like something small like that. Interesting. Or like other in-game like prizes, or maybe like small amounts of money. I don't think points is super necessary. I'd probably want to keep those to just Pokemon run events. Mm-hmm. But like, I think like offering like prizes and supports and advertising to grassroots tourneys would definitely like help boost the grassroots scene a lot.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Yeah. I like those.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to piggyback off that, like, increasing, it doesn't even have to be much, right? I mean, Unite Mike's Mayhem, you know, Zwick Center are super proud of it. You know, besides for the finals, I mean, that money was coming out of our pocket. And it's not like $400 is, it's a lot to me and it's a lot to Zoinks, but it's not necessarily a lot in the grand scheme of things. But if you look at the viewership we got and the metrics we're pulling in, you know, for a UCS level, if they're taking a look at that, they can say, okay, well, you know, they're averaging 300 to 400 viewers, and if we can get some UCS plugs in there or game plugs in there, and it costs us $400 for 4 weeks of ads and gassing up with high level competition. I mean, that's a very easy conversation to have. Theoretically, you know, I don't know what the song and dance is internally at Pokemon. I have no idea. But like, I'm thinking just logistically, trying to put myself into their position, growing these things, keeping energy up outside of the official UCS season. And then you just consider, hey, that's not a bad return on investment.
Yeah.
And it supports the scene. So there you go.
Yeah. That's a really good one. Deucex, I'm actually going to keep the question line of questioning towards you again, because Speediest Chief wanted to ask you specifically, who is your inspiration for casting? Also, how can you fit so many wild references into one single cast?
this is going to be a very long-winded story, but essentially what I did is I just started, when I wanted to cast Pokemon Unite, I was already casting TCG, and it was kind of easy to have conversational casting styles in TCG casting because it's more conversational, right? And it's whereas casting, you know, a MOBA or a first person shooter or something like that, there's a little bit more flair, texture, personality you can insert in that just through the nature of the game. So I just started studying. So Uber Shouts was a huge person that I glommed onto to just kind of understand finding fever pitches in matches, hitting the exciting moments, don't over gas up not exciting ones so that the bigger ones feel as big as they should. Mm-hmm. Of course, tons of Dota casting. You know, I watched the 17 with Sella, you know, and, yes. And like finding and like good burning one. Those type of moments in your head. And then I watched a lot of CSGO too, because I don't know anything about that game. I still don't know anything about that game. But the way that they discuss approaches and things like that, just their style. And of course, finally, professional sports casters, listen to a ton of NFL baseball casters. There's some good ones that actually able to keep people's attention while you're watching baseball on TV, studying them a little bit to see how they carry that load. You know, and that gives you practice on those hour and a half that you spend at the desk, Zoinks, you know, hard carrying at Worlds. You know, that's the type of stuff that you kind of get used to by listening to those seasoned folks. As far as lines, if I think of something funny, I'll literally just put it in my phone. You know, you just dip back into that notes file and just kind of like, you know, and you're like, yeah, it's still funny, whatever. So like,
it's so like, still funny for when I wrote it down. Yeah, it's good. I'll use it again.
So like, I'll you know, Hannah's a genius. She's hilarious. Hannah's my wife. So I was trying to come up like in my mind, I was like, I want to say it ain't easy being green, but you know, obviously hasn't met this Venusaur, right? Something like that.
Okay.
So I was explaining that to my wife and she was like, Venu and Zarina, like the tennis sisters, right? And I was like, well, it is now. So that's and then just having that inkling of a thought is what led me to that casting moment where I said the Wimbledon line.
Yes, it was a good line.
Which, you know, that was a seed planted in my head by my wife who just kind of matched that together. And I was like, holy shit, it's genius. So, yeah, that's exactly what that's going to be at some point in time. If I ever get into the moment where those two Pokemon are there and things are going off, and then after that, it's just practicing and understanding when you need to reach into that bag of tricks and use it at the right time.
I like that. That's a good way to actually practice and implement it. That is awesome.
So there you go. That was a very long-winded answer to a pretty pointed question. No,
I think that is a really, really good answer to that question. Yeah, we had a few more questions. We can get to some. We did have a couple in chat. One was just, what do we think our first Gen 9 Pokemon should be added? We could rapid fire this one. I genuinely think Tinkaton should be in this game. I think it just fits really well design-wise into the game of Unite. The three of you, any Generation 9 or new Paldean Pokemon you want in?
Smoliv.
Smoliv, okay.
Smoliv's cool. Claude Sire, the evolution for Paldean Wooper. Yeah.
Did you see that it got second place in the current like Japanese popularity pool for like Pokemon from Gen 9?
Wow.
It got second. That is crazy to me.
But good anyway, taste.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently.
Tinkaton, right?
Yeah, Tinkaton was first, but yeah. But Claude Sire was number two. Impressive. Yeah. Okay, and then Lazina, what was your...
I'd say either like Tinkaton, I 100% agree with that one, or like one of the starters, probably Skeledirge would be my preferred, but I know Meowscarada is the most popular one.
That is true. The most they don't always go with the most popular Pokemon, though. You know, they go with a lot of popular Pokemon. They've really been moving down that list of top 100 most popular Pokemon, but they have thrown in some wild cards like Dodrio and Greedent, so we definitely can enjoy some of that. Did anybody see any questions in chat that they really wanted to bring out? Silly Simo asks, can you give insight to the behind the scenes of the World Championship? What is it like at a Pokemon run live event? It is really exciting. Worlds is an interesting one because it's just kind of bigger than life. Like it's their biggest event, so they have tons of staff, tons of people. It really does feel like you're an ant at a hive when you are working at one of those events. Like there's just so much, so many staff, so many technical professionals always going around. Since we were just casting, we were just kind of told where to stand and where to smile, and we tried our best to not mess that up. We did that probably a fair amount of times, but that's what we do. And then the players, I think, were just sort of the same, told when to show up, told when to play, and did their thing. But very cool, though, if you're just a general fan of Pokemon. They have so many little side event things, a lot of them for free, even just the general public. So a lot of cool things to participate in, even as a fan, which is really cool.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, I'm sorry, a couple more questions, and then we'll wrap this thing up. I got one question asked specifically to me. You tweeted that you wanted to become the best draft analyst in the community. I still do, except Lazadin's on this show, so it's super awkward. It's better at it than I am. Can you speak to how great teams execute drafts and how you analyze teams? Lazadin, I actually want to ask you, when you are watching other teams draft, what specific things are you looking for? Is it reliance on Pokemon, their, you know, crutches on banning and picks? What do you specifically look for initially?
So the first thing you do want to look for, in my opinion, is that if there's any very specific and obvious habits you can find, there's usually a reason for those, right? And you'll usually like, I'll usually go through the games where they are able to rely on those habits and figure out why they have those like issues. And then, like, compare them to the games they don't get those. But then other than that, it becomes a game of, like, what are, like, who are their best carry players, right? Like, who's the real, like, essence of this team?
Sure.
How do they draft around that person? Do they even draft around that person? Is that exploitable?
Yeah.
Then you go down to, what kind of comps do we want to play into them? What comps are good in the meta? And then how you form your plan around that. And then finally, player preference at every single step of the way, your own player's preferences should always be taken into account, right? Like, above all else, if Overlord says to me in the middle of the draft, I want to play this, I don't care what the plan was, I am just picking it.
Sure.
That's how he is. And if that's what he wants to do, then sure. And I'll trust him.
Yeah, that's a fair thing. Specifically for me, when I'm analyzing drafts, like I mentioned, I do a lot of the same things that you are doing when you are participating in drafts, and obviously you're the one, you know, sort of calling out those draft strategies. Then yeah, you're going to tend towards your stronger players for sure. This kind of just goes to how I like to cast. I like to focus in on individual players and then team play styles. So like the two things that I like to really focus in on. I don't care as much about like Pokemon selection, maybe. Like, I like how the team actually likes to play as a unit. Like, is this team aggressive at 2 minutes? Is this team more of a defensive team? How aggressive is their top laner? Where are the big like power duos on this squad? Like, how do they push in? Like, is this Luca player a really aggressive one? Are they a more passive? Do they infrasect? Do they not? Like, I like going into the more depths of those. And so when it comes to analyzing draft, I like just to watch how they play after the draft, see how that play style kind of looks when they play in the match, and then compare it to what they did in draft. So what part of their play style is kind of integral to their team? How early do they prioritize that in drafts? How not? Those kind of things. And I like to break it down that way. So I kind of reverse engineer it a little bit. It's how I've been practicing, at the very least, to because I said I want to become the best draft analyst in the game. I am not close. So I'm working my way up is my is my answer to that question. Another question in chat. I like this one a lot. What's your general advice on getting better at macro game sense? Inder, I haven't heard from you in a bit. I want you to answer this question.
I think the best way is to try to recognize, first of all, where things go wrong. That's probably the hardest part. If you can figure out where things started to go wrong, and then you're able to backstep from there, every different moment, every place where you had to make a decision. Just what I like to do is just think of what are all the possible decisions that we could have made and, you know, how did all of them fare? Like, even think of the really bad ones. Like, should we just have 5 manned on the other side of the map? And sometimes you'll come away with really good answers. And especially in like a team environment, it's important that, you know, you have these discussions as a team. So you guys can be on the same page when you're playing a game and not and just be prepared for anything.
Yeah. That's really true. I like that. Think about the choices you made in game, especially as a team. Individual play, you could always improve, but as a team, I think is where you will see the most rapid growth in your own gameplay and, of course, your teams. Any other questions that you all saw in chat that you really want to hit before we close this up?
I want to touch on this one. Do we think a live event would include an analyst desk in the future? I sure hope so. I think that's the natural progression of this as a competitive esports scene. You know, you want to ramp up and make it feel as big as other games of its similar variety so that it can be, you know, hold a candle to the other things is what I'm trying to get at. So I would love to see that, and I think it's going to be an important function down the road.
I personally think it could be there. I would like it to be something akin to what Pokemon did at Worlds this year for every other game of Event Unite, which was just like a tangential video segment apart from the main broadcast that they did like after or before. I like that. I like just, I don't know. I find the feeling of wanting to tune out when an analyst comes on sometimes when I'm watching other, like, you know, sports or other video games, I feel that same way. But I think if it's done well, it can be fantastic. If it's not, it can be tough. But I don't know, it just seems like the modern trend is to be, you know, not putting it in the main broadcast and kind of having it bookend the show. And I think a bookend show broadcast would be really, really cool for an analyst desk. That's my personal opinion, but I think it could slot well into the rest of the show as well. Yeah.
I have a tendency to agree.
What'd you say?
I said I have a tendency to agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, awesome. We got Inder's New Year resolution to go to Yokohama. I don't usually make them, but I'll say my New Year's resolution is to go to Yokohama. Lazarus, do you have a New Year's resolution?
I mean, go to Yokohama, obviously, but sure. Conquer Yokohama, that would be the actual answer.
Ooh, conquer Yokohama. Okay, feels weird a little bit, but whatever, phrasing we can work out. Sounds good, yes. Absolutely dominate at Yokohama. Doof Sex, do you have a New Year's resolution?
Yeah. Let's go to Yokohama, of course. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, obviously, you know, being a part of the World Championships again would be a dream come true, an absolute gem of an idea and definitely a goal. Also, I'd like to lose about 12 pounds. So there you go. Sure. We'll make that. I was down the weight I wanted to lose going into Thanksgiving, and I just fell off, just off the rails. So now we're gonna have to run it back.
All right, sounds good, sounds good. Well, we got some personal goals to hit. Of course, we have some goals to hit within Unite. I'm very excited for what this year has to hold, not only for the competitive scene, but also for this podcast. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for 50 episodes of Overdunk. It truly means the world to me that you all keep listening and checking this out. If you're listening to it on Spotify or something like that, please leave a review. If you're watching this back on YouTube, let us know what teams you are so excited to watch this upcoming competitive season. I cannot wait. North America, EU, we're going to be covering all those tournaments and, of course, watching some Asia's Champions League very soon. Make sure to tune into this on Spotify or YouTube. Other than that, that is going to be it. They have been the three best co-hosts in the world. I have been Zoinks. This has been Overdunk. We will see you all next time. Goodbye and Happy New Year.
Bye.